Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Today's episode of Coffee and Shell is sponsored by Gamer Saloon. If you are looking to have the best place for wager matches in essentially any video game, Gamer Saloon is the place to do it. They are the sponsor of our podcast. I also need to note that there is an audio issue with me personally in the video version of this podcast. So if you are watching it, for whatever reason, I'm ahead. It looks like I'm in, you know, some crazy English dub video. I apologize. Kessel and Padre are fine, but please ignore that. I know it was an issue, and I'm sorry. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Hey, guys. Welcome into episode 55 of Coffee and Shell, the podcast. I'm your host, Sleeves, joined by my two co-hosts, Padre and Kessel. Today, we are going to break down the latest event in Hockey Ultimate Team, as well as a bunch of other stuff that has happened in the world of Shell over the last week, but we'll start. I mean, that was
terrible.
That was clever. That was more clever than I.
Wow, that was awful. I couldn't even take you serious.
Yeah, well done. Well done by me. Padre, how many trees you got up in your house right now?
We have four.
And that's just.
And yeah, it's not my call. So it's one of those things where it's like I just get them out of the basement and bring them up, and then she sets them up. So, but part of it, we haven't really bought any of our trees. Like my mom, she's really into Christmas, so she gave us like this one because she didn't want it. Like, my wife's like, okay, I'll take it, and then she puts it like in the window, and I'm like, well, whatever. So it's like it's really not that bad, honestly, putting it together because they make them so well now. Like you don't have to put lights on them anymore; they're built in. All you do is just pop them in, and you're done.
The Kessel, are you immediately it flips over from Halloween to November 1st, you're like Christmas spirit, or are you like
Like my wife likes Thanksgiving, I think. Like it's we wait a couple of weeks before that, so I'm assuming we'll do the trees like soon. I think November 1st with the trees is absolutely insane. Dude, we were in the car the other day. We have was it Sirius XM radio? Does anybody have that?
Not anymore, but yeah.
Oh, dude, it's great. and in the car, my wife has our like preset stations, and like the last page is like empty a little bit, and there was like three blank spots, and then she's like, did you see what happened? And so we went to that last page, and like the Holly Jolly channel was like pre-populated. Oh, I'm like, oh god, dude, they started with it. Dude, how old are we, by the way? I'm complaining about Christmas songs in, like, November. Like, this is the ultimate old guy complaining thing.
So, like, this is what I brought up. So, I went and got my hair cut today. My barber's very, like, I don't even like, December 23rd, I'll put my tree up. And I'm like, well, dude, that's just not the spirit. And then I got to, like, thinking, the day is, like, okay. You know, you with your family, and you open all your presents. So, like, dopamine's high, usually. Like, it's tough. A lot of people out there don't have a great Christmas, so you know it's unfortunate with that struggle. But you know, for the most part, I mean, it's hard to have a bad time. I guess would be a bad. It's an easy holiday to have a good time. I think I'm more about like the lead up. Like I enjoy like the cozy, you know, trees up, you know, fireplace is on in like early December, like the night I go take the dog for a walk. It's brisk, but there's snow on. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nice. We had the fireplace going tonight, so it's gonna be like hot as hell whenever I walk out there.
Oh, and dude, summer, like we turned it on for the first time because it got really cold. Really cold. Actually, yeah, it's probably colder where I am than you guys are.
What's the temperature?
Right now? Ugh, like 3 degrees. Oh,
yeah, we have to do this calculation.
I'm not doing this math. It's not zero yet. Very close.
Okay, so I think it's colder here, the same temperature.
It will. So like in Niagara, this is like 8 days ago. We had a day that hit 24, which is like, I think it's 80. And this is like normal.
Yeah.
This is like it'll be like one random day at very end of October, early November, and it'll be like shorts. And then when it is cold though, when it like in Canada, when it gets cold, there's like a week where it's just does not stop snowing. You can't go outside without just full mittens and like you know, your heavy duty boots. Can't handle it.
I wore shorts last week, and now last night it snowed. Here,
yeah, like it's so. Not. We haven't seen snow yet. I haven't.
Ours
seen
is like a wet like, snow, so it was like my daughter.
That's
was
what
all,
we got today. Yeah.
She was all excited and wanted to go sledding, and by the time she was done eating breakfast, it melted. It's like,
yeah, I'm excited for. So when we had summer, she was like 5 months old when last year when it, and like when it snows, there'll be no snow all of November. Then like one weekend, we'll get like 3 feet in like the span of like 48 hours. And I remember this one. I have this one video where I'm like throwing her into the snowbank and stuff. And she, and now that she's like a full grown dog, and she can like wrestle back and like, you know, I'm excited to just toss her in the snowbank when we get it, when we get a huge snowfall. But that's enough about the weather and the holidays. All right, we got biggies to talk about. We got a new event, and we got a new weekend full of hilarious bugs. And we got a new patch. There's a lot to talk about. So let's start with the milestone event that was released in Hockey Ultimate Team. First of all, this isn't 16-bit. It kind of made sense. You know, milestones, it's hard to mess up milestones. However, they did choose some very obscure ones. Like, if you look at, so Zibanejad was one of them. It's like 6 points in a game.
That's one period.
Yeah, which is nuts, but it's like a very shoehorned, like, hey, we need a New York Ranger MSP, let's make it Zibanejad, quick, find me a milestone.
Dude, they would have, if they had to search harder, be like, yeah, he had 12 hits in the third period of, like, if they really had the big,
We're getting, like, a Cal Clutterbuck next week, and it's going to be, like, 15 hits in December of, you know, 2014. So, let me ask you this, I said this in a video, and maybe I've got, maybe I'm being overly critical here. Have we just not gotten a ton of OEL the past few years?
Yes. I complained about that.
I'm right on that.
I complained about that, and one of our nice friends from EA actually replied to me about it and told me we have to make some meta cards. And he goes, and there's just not many meta guys to make. I guess defensemen, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, listen, I'm in the... I don't know. It's hot, right? And it's kind of goofy. Like, the overalls always don't translate to what the real player is anyways. I'm in the camp of having some, like, fun guys. Like, for your sake, Mario Ferraro? Can we give him an 89 MSP? Pick, like...
Whoa, no, the only reason I disagree is because we've had this last year before you joined the podcast here, Padre.
Eric Brandstrom.
Me and Sleaze are on video, on tape, saying, what's up with these random MSPs? Like, where are the good players?
But so Brandstrom was an under 22, though, and he had a high ceiling.
Let me ask you. Okay, here's the baseline of what me and Kesso came up with for who should be a master set selection. This is a good topic to talk about. And if you're listening to this video on YouTube, in the comments, let me know if we're way off. If you like it, whatever, because it's all personal preference.
Right.
So my view, especially when the MSP or X factors were released last year, my view on what an MSP should be is a non X factor. Because they already have, you know, for the most part, at some point you should recognize them. But especially early on in the year.
Yeah.
A non-X factor, very high-end player.
Okay.
So if we're doing Arizona, right? Like they gave OEL the Arizona version because they need to give Arizona, like, MSPs, right? It'd be like...
Keller.
Awful, this shit. Yes, Keller's the only option. So Clayton Keller...
But he's not meta. That's the problem.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're going to... I think that every once in a while, they want to make sure that there's cards.
They did Chychrun last year, remember?
Yes.
I have no problem... Here, I agree. I'm on board with you. I'm just saying, But they've set the precedent already that, you know, MSPs can be almost anybody. We had Zach Cassian last year, or the year before. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why I'm under the impression that they don't care about, per se, who it exactly is. That's why I said that. But I agree with you, Sleazy. I 100% think it should be good players or star players. Because, you know, you got to sell packs, too.
I do think, yeah, because, like, the danger you run in is if you make it, like, because the first thing is going to be, like, who cares with a meta? Which, for the most part, it's like, yeah, that shouldn't be the focus on all of it. But it is nice that they do have a card or two of like the release that does fit like what the Division One and Division Two guys are looking for, because that gets you excited for the chase. Like if you release lame cards, which they've done before, you know, it's like why am I excited about that? You know what I mean? Like it's like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, like I'm trying to think of what would be an example of like the Zibanejad he's a great card.
And he's a great player. I like him a lot.
And a very good player. Hillary Knight is a fine selection. I mean, if they're highlighting a female player, man, just don't highlight Marie-Philippe Poulin because her card is unstoppable. It is like the card I struggle with the most for some random reason. Patrick Waugh, man, goalie MSPs are so bad.
They're just lame.
Like, it sucks because you have to recognize them. You know what I mean? Like it'd be poor if they don't. But man, yeah. So I did not make him yet. I was gonna make him on the God Squad maybe because it's like the only position I don't have like a top tier card. I got just flooded with like this thing is awful and that sucks. So that's not very fun. Mm-hmm. Week two. Interested to see. We're definitely getting right shot defensemen and left handed wingers, which is huge because I think the outside of Letang, unless you have the team builders or like the extremely expensive X factors like Makar, there isn't really any great right-handed defenseman. On my no money spent team, that's what I'm like running into. Like there's not that, like, you know, if you don't go Letang and you went Byram and McCann, which I think is probably the play, there hasn't been a really, really good right-handed defenseman yet. So I'm excited to see who that is. I don't know, maybe it's gonna be Brent Burns.
He's having a great year. I hope it is him.
Yeah, it's gonna be Brent Burns, but yeah, they also released a new type of card that we hadn't seen yet, which is awesome. It is a card that upgrades once they hit a certain milestone for this event. It gets Master Set card art. So I don't know if they messed around with the dates and when they were going to have this event come out, but or if they just wanted to use it as an example. Phil Kessel got they released him, Ben, and Edler, and when they hit a certain peak of games played, when they hit the games played milestone, when Phil Kessel hit the 990 and consecutively, his card went from 83 bumped up to an 89 Master Set player. Love that. Like, I really think that's a cool new thing. So Ben and Edler, when they get to 89, they're at 83 right now, when they play their 1,000th games in the NHL, they'll get Master Set card art. Now, at the time when that happens, they're not going to be as like sought after. I think the earliest for Edler is December 21st or 18th, which is not bad for having 89. Ben, if he doesn't miss any games, I think isn't until February like 3rd. And that's an 89. You're not going to be like that jazzed about it. But they're rare. Like Phil Kessel's going for like 500K right now.
Which makes no sense.
It's exclusivity, like it's flex,
yeah,
like that. So, and I think that there needs to be some of those cards, like Lemieux and Gretzky. That's what they are. They're not worth 1.5 million.
No,
like no card is worth 1.5 million, except for maybe Connor's X Factor, because eventually you can turn that into
Team of the Year,
his Team of the Year card. But like at some point,
can we talk about exceptional cards? How slow the Kessel is compared to what we thought he would be? 90. So with Workhorse, he's 90 Excel, 88 speed. I thought that would be like the type of card, considering like we have like base cards that are there, like Taylor Hall, just because of like Kessel in years past has always been like a. I mean, you look at Phil Kessel's body, and I don't know how that guy hums around the ice the way he does, but he does. There's something about him.
I think I don't know if it's the same because they've been messing around with me and Kessel came up with like that build thing in the summertime when we just had way too much time on our hands.
Right.
And I've actually got to give him props because they've released like some prime times and team of the weeks where they went in and they manually adjusted some of their like their stats.
And I have to say, I think that's because of our, I don't want to say pressure the past couple years, but we've been pretty vocal about that.
Yeah, like at least they haven't acknowledged that to us personally, but like it just seems like that's, you know, like because that was random that they started doing that. But I don't know if like some of their master sets, they just have to blanket go up, right? Okay. So Phil Kessel's card now, he's not the same as he was, you know, on Vegas. He's not the same as he was in Boston or Toronto, right? So
that's true.
I'm thinking that's why his card isn't as impressive. But yeah, he's going for 500K right now because he's just so rare. And I think that having a very limited amount of those kinds of cards is kind of fun for the game because it gives you, like I said, you get scored on by that. That's a card where you're like, yeah, you're going to watch that replay. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to see that thing pop up. And I don't think there's many of those in the game. So I hope to see more like that. So I don't know what the next events could be, you know, but like if they do a rookie event, if let's say Matt, we got to talk about this. We'll talk about this a little bit more in the alumni, but there's some issues with headshots. We've seen this in the past where this isn't on EA, but if the team doesn't send in headshots to the player, they can't add them into the game really. But I believe back in NHL 21, when Nicholas was the content dev, now it's EA Hawk and Mia Moose, he came up with a way around that because Kaprizov, they couldn't get him in the game because during the COVID year, he came over, but they didn't obviously take all the season started late. They didn't get the headshots, like the team pictures, all of that. And what he ended up doing was they made a master set card art of like, you know, it was an illustration. Like it was like a Photoshopped, whatever, like it was actually done by a designer. And that's a way of getting around not having the headshot. So I don't know if Matty Beniers doesn't have one, and I don't know about Power, but I'd be willing to bet there's a rookie event, and if, you know, later on in the year, that maybe has them.
Oh, baby.
It'd be really cool to see if, like, there was rookie guys that, let's say they hit 20 points, 20 or 30 points, like, you know, something like that, and then they shoot up, like that Michelli guy. We talked about him on the real podcast. Yeah. That Arizona guy who's leading the Calder leading the rookies in points. I think that'd be really cool. Maybe Mason McTavish has, like, you know, if he hits 35 points or 40 points, he jumps up to like a 93 or whenever it is later on in the year. I think that would be, I just want them to keep doing that. Like what they did with Edler, Ben and Kessel, phenomenal job. You have to give them credit when they try new stuff and it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't. And we flame them for it when they do. Positive things, you got to give them some credit. And for the most part, I think the content team has been pretty, pretty good.
The more they tie in real hockey, the better, I think.
That, obviously, that's why the Evo event's been my favorite.
The Edler, like, will I use them? Maybe. I don't know. The Ben, probably not, like you said. But it's like, cool. It's cool something for, you know, a guy that pulls it untradeable. And then he gets to watch. Maybe he'll go watch, you know, or sit there and have his fingers crossed every night, make sure they play their games. Yeah.
I mean, I said during the Evo event, like, the choices this year, they were very obscure, more than they were in the past. And there wasn't really, like, a home run like Duchesne. But, dude, I said Stutz was the best one because it epitomizes the event and what it's supposed to be. I was sitting there last the other night watching the third period of the Ottawa game, and he scored an empty netter. And I was like, let's go. There it is. That's an 82. And, you know, like, that's the whole point of that event. Dobson, by the way.
Yeah.
An Islander fan came into my chat, and I was like, what do you think of Dobson? I was like, I don't like defenseman Evos because, well, we saw it last year. Like, Morgan Riley or Pionk was a master set. He scored during the event and everyone rushed out and he didn't score again for like 3 months. And that's just what happens with some of the defensemen, right? Like, they can go forever, especially when they pick the ones like Fowler, who usually only scores about 5 goals a season. He just might not score. But I guess, so the Dobson one, I don't watch a lot of Islander games. And I guess, like, he has the only one with like a really good shot from the back end and he's taking all of them right now.
Yeah.
So he's going for like a milli, and that's the most, like, that's the high point.
Yeah.
But if he falls to like 800K, like if he goes 2 weeks without a goal, you know, if he's 6'4" and has 87 speed, every goal for a defenseman, they go up by +2 overall, but their speed goes up by one. It's guaranteed to go up by one. So if he scores 2 more goals, he's got 90 speed and he's 6'4". Like, that's an
angle. I almost pulled the trigger on two of his because he was listed like 650 the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw that he was on the top power play because I was looking at all of them, and like Cam Fowler, he's not going to hit this year with Klingberg on the top unit on the power play. Cause it was like,
I don't think
Fowler had like 9 goals last year. 6 of them were on the power play, and that's just not going to happen.
Ton. But yeah, the problem with Anaheim is there's no one, like, because like they lost Drysdale. Yeah. Like, they're just, their decor is like, I think Klingberg, and there's no way Klingberg finishes the year there.
No.
We talked about, me and Padre talked
about it. He'll get traded. By the way, real quick, Noah traded. Dobson looks like a baby-faced Kessel. I'm looking at his picture right now.
He does a little bit.
And he looks like you, Kessel. I'm not going to lie, just without any facial hair.
Picture
and real quick, too, Dylan Strom, that might be, I think.
That's a good one, too.
I think Kessel, one of our buddies, Nathan, give him a shout out. He was kind of talking about how you were looking at all the different guys, and he said Strom. And I mean, I just look at like meta guys, obviously, and just the situation that is in Washington second right now player. With no Backstrom, and you know, you play with Ovechkin, you just never know. I mean, so I don't know, but that was another one I liked. No,
that's good. I will continue saying this, but it sounds like, I don't know if I influenced the market on this or there's just not a lot because the event was like he's been out of packs for so long. Pavel Minyakov is like a slam dunk.
Can't even find him.
Yeah, like you won't. I don't think you'll find him anymore because he's already popped off. Like, I think he's in the 80s now. He leads the OHL in goals, and he will continue for defensemen. And again, I've seen them play. I've seen them play live, which is kind of cool. But it's just the way the OHL is. Like, Major Junior, if a defenseman is drafted and good, especially offensive, like they, all the kids do is feed him. You know, so like he's gonna take every shot possible. He's a pretty easy slam dunk that I think, and he'll be good. So, before we get into what happened on the weekend with all the bugs and whatnot, let's give a shout out to a sponsor for today's podcast, Gamer Saloon. If you guys are looking to go head to head and look for some insane competition, win yourself some money in wager matches, Gamer Saloon is the place to do it. If you are looking for NHL money games, definitely go and take a look at Gamer Saloon. The link is down below. And you can sign up. They do run a lot of power hours where they'll match what you pay and everything like that. So
you get like a free $10 match they did a couple weeks ago, which is awesome.
Exactly. So I know they're trying to get into some creative stuff with NHL, so make sure you pay attention, but check out Gamer Saloon. Again, link is down below. All right, so let's get into what happened on the weekend, which is a little controversial because I don't know if I messed up. And I don't know how I should handle
things. You didn't.
Anymore, but
you relax. Didn't. Go, you're good, dude. You need. You can't.
Hang on. No. Because I personally, I debated myself before I made the video. So, what happened for anyone that doesn't know? Essentially, it was made aware. I think on Facebook. Those Facebook groups, bro.
Dude, they're like, those people got to be like 43 years old.
100%. And they're just someone. And then I believe it was Games and Roses. He was on TikTok. He made TikTok about it. And then a bunch of people in my community sent me the DM of the TikTok. And it was someone had stumbled upon an old gen because the menus are so slow that they accidentally could switch your defenseman and put him on forward. It wasn't a glitch. It was legitimately like if you hit substitute on a forward and then hit R1, because the menu was a little bit slower, to lag behind, it would allow you to choose your defenseman from the pool of players to switch with. So you could have, if you went and replaced your right winger, you could put Kale McCarr on the right wing, and then you go to defense, and you do the same thing, and you go back a page, and you could put forwards on defense, like it was. And people forget, this is legitimately how the game was from NHL 14 all the way up to 20. Like, that was what the game was. It was, you could put anyone you wanted on anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other debate because I remember, can I say, yeah, okay, I can say this. I remember when my very first trip out to EA, my only trip to Vancouver, when before COVID and before when they actually did the trips, it was my first time as a game changer getting invited out there to test the game. And I remember sitting in a meeting and they brought up not allowing to play forwards on defense. And I was like, I made a meme basically the whole year prior that I used Bernie Jeffrey on the back end, who's like 5'9", very good forward in his career, one of the best, but he had 99 slap shot accuracy and power, and this is like in November, like it was absurd, and I remember just blasting one-timers, like he was awful defensively.
Yeah,
you could just, the problem with defenders is they have to hammer something, whether it's skating, shot, or size. They rarely have all three, and that's still the case. And because they have to, the way they're statted, it's just they can't keep up. Forwards can have all three of those, but then they relax in like some maybe body checking or defensive ability, something like that. And defensemen always seem to get the kind of the shaft there, and so putting forwards on the back end was always advantageous. And so this got found, and then I made a video on it. Being like, hey guys, this is how you do it. I'm at a point now where there were so many bugs this year, and I just don't think this is a dev thing. I want, maybe this is a whole other discussion we'll get into, because there's a lot of things to unpack here. As one, me and Kessler are game changers. Two, we're old. Like, we've been playing this game for a long time, but we also have a little bit, maybe a different view of, like, life and, like, work-life balance. And, you know, like, much different than maybe someone, if you're younger and you're in school and you've really had, like, a job where you got to work, yeah, you know, 60 hours in a work week, maybe you don't know yet. So there's a lot of things I want to talk about here. So I made it known and made a video, like, this is how you guys do it. Because I personally, when stuff like this happens, I remember early on in my YouTube career showing glitches and things like this. Very, very bad, because you get a lot of hate and things like that, and it's like, you're showing everyone how to do all these glitches. I didn't think that this was a big glitch. Hey, I'll get into what ended up being bad about this, but putting your forwards on defense and defensive forwards, I didn't like that this small Facebook group had the advantage of, if they wanted to, put Mikhail Makar on forward, because he's a much better forward than he is defender. I think we can all agree on that. Elite edges, 94 speed and acceleration, good shot. Like, Mikhail Makar is a phenomenal forward. I don't like when a small section of the community can do that to the casual guy that doesn't, you know, have the same amount of access and 40 hours a week in the game. I think that everyone should be on the same playing field when it comes to stuff like that. But then you were able to do it with goaltenders, and that just made a mockery of the whole thing, because you put goaltenders in, they had zero speed, but they couldn't be hit. And it didn't really give anyone an advantage. The people that are like, I can't hit anyone. Everyone's just, you know, like, if you can't, I replied to a Reddit thread about this. I'm like, if you can't pocheck a zero speed player and knock the puck free, I got to make a video. I got to show you something. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys if that was the case. But it was a disaster. They had, like, no skates. It made the game really bad. And that wasn't my intention, because in the video, I don't show you how to do that. But the four ended up being, like, hilarious. I thought personally it was hilarious to see that.
Yeah.
The issue was, like, the devs, like, they fixed it within, like, 12 hours.
It was immediate, almost. Because I didn't even, Padre, I don't know what you were doing this weekend. I wasn't on the game whenever this was, like, in the game.
Yeah, I
miss everything.
I saw it on some people's streams. That's why I thought Sleazy was going to beat himself up at the beginning. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said it. Like, dude. There were so many people that were showing it and doing it on stream, and I won't name names.
Yeah.
Not that it, like, matters. I just mean, like, it was, everyone was kind of doing it. I was actually laughing, and normally I know I'm negative Nancy, and I'm like, this is so dumb. But, like, it was just funny seeing, like, Jordan Binnington with no bucket and white skates yeah. and white gloves.
There was an Ottinger that had no skates.
Yeah, and they skated around like little, like, old ladies or something. Like, yeah. They were all bent over, and it was so funny.
I thought
funny.
It was hilarious, but I got to give them credit. Holiday weekend. Devs have been working since the start of this game, and this is a whole other thing. The devs actually make the game. They, you know, not the executives. Like, the devs that have been working on the game have been working nonstop to fix basically what was broken since it. And they came in on a holiday weekend and fixed it immediately. And that's their job, right? But, like, it was just, like, I was impressed by that. Again, people don't see the ins and outs of, and they kind of think that these devs are robots and they don't deserve a normal life.
Yeah, and there's, like, they're not real people behind, like, yeah.
And it's like, you pay full price for a video game and you expect a full price worth of a video game, which is what I totally agree with the consumer, because this game is not worth full price. And that is where my issue is with, not with the developers. Like, I wish someone maybe leaves a sports game, a yearly sports game, and can just give people the actual layout of what happens in a year when you have to release a full AAA game in the span of a year. And I think the openness about it would make people be like, wow. You know what I mean? But the problem with that is if they do that, like, people, they can't charge full price, because then once you know, like, it's just tough. Like, you're in a very bad spot. And the people that write the checks, I think, are just like, you know, I don't know, because like I said, I don't think this game was should have been charged for full price. I don't think people should have been charged full price. It was a game that they had to release in October because they have to meet a deadline. They had to release in October, and it should have been done in January. That's like my honest stance on it. I just think that's how it is, and they've been trying to play catch up, which concerns me about 24 now, you know, because every time that there's a bug and stuff like that, they got to take people off of what they're doing in the next game and go back and work on the on the old game. And, you know, it's tough. I hope to see, you know, less bugs. And but yeah, I like I said, brutal that that was in the game. But props that they fixed it within 12 hours on a holiday weekend. That's nuts to me. Like, I was actually stunned that when I went in and it was like done. I think it was done by like 3 p.m. the next day. So good for them there. Let's move on to patch 1.03. So now there's a new patch that's going to be added into the game, and hopefully it all goes swimmingly. So patch 1.03 is crossplay. So we are finally getting the biggest back of the box feature of NHL 23, you know, the big selling point of it. And this should be one of the best features ever added into NHL. I know it's not full crossplay, but it will go down eventually as like one of the biggest. So 1.03 comes, we got the content schedule. You guys saw it.
Dude, there were more phases than like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There was like eight phases listed.
Yeah, phase zero is like no modes. They could have just went to one. So for anyone that hasn't seen it, basically what'll happen, today they released the update, and it took about 2 hours, I think. I got stuck. I couldn't play. So it was a little bit longer on PS5. But
yeah, so whenever they released it, you couldn't play, right?
Couldn't, no.
Dude, you would think the world ended. You would really think. And so I'm sorry, but this is back on what we just talked about. The game was only down for 2 hours. I was at work today, so like I just missed it. But you, like, going on Reddit or going on Twitter, you would think that the worst thing in the world happened. Really, it was just down for a couple hours, and that's it.
This is the thing. So with a lives, I think this is a better conversation, better topic conversation. We are not defending EA's product.
No. We shouldn't even have to. No, but at this point, Sleaze, we shouldn't have to preface it by saying that.
True.
Because, like, I'm all Mr. Anti EA exec. Like, clearly,
I think I've been
on my own PAX strike this year. I tell people not to spend money on this game. I tell people it's not a full price game. But at some point, it's just complaining to complain because you're angry.
I think this is kind of, again, for all sports games.
Yeah.
I think it's a live service game, but you only pay once, and you expect from start to finish, the live series is always working at optimal, at the optimal ability it can. And I think some people, not like the gaming industry as a whole, I think that is kind of an issue. Because a live service game requires developers that are constantly updating it, like the content team. Developers go back and fix old things that have been found out to be broken. You know, and again, with a yearly release, that means there's so little time to QA test.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the big issue. Like, we get the game.
I mean, we're the free QA testers, basically.
Exactly. That's what the game changers are. We're not even game changers.
We're not. We're glorified.
That was a terrible testers. Name. Terrible name picked 8 years ago, because we do not change the game. We are glorified play testers at this point, that are not paid, right? We get access to the developers to explain what the issues are that we are finding. That is really it. But I think that what people are now, you know, they expect any time that there's an interruption to live service, it's like, you know, it's this awful thing that, you know, that they demand perfection on something that is constantly going, right? This isn't like they're playing a story mode game, and once they've beaten the story mode, they've gotten their money's worth. Like, if you bought God of War Ragnarok, you played it start to finish, that's it. You aren't playing it anymore. With a live service game, you're getting way more hours out of than what you are for an offline game, right? So, just you know, food for thought, because I play this game for a living, and I had to sit on stream for a day and I for an hour and a half, and I just sat there. And was it frustrating? Yes, but if you have hatred, that much hatred, you got to channel it, fellas. Go to the gym, you know.
Rub one out. Do something.
Yeah, exactly. Do something.
Hey, well, you guys, you better get ready, because there's four more times they're gonna do it.
because the new patch. We'll start with the new content, the new schedule for this patch. It comes out, and I believe Hut Rush and One's Eliminator. One's Eliminator might actually be a mode you can play now, because there's crossplay on it. that's the first two. And then 4 days later, it's like EASHL drop-ins and 6v6. And then it's 3v3s. And then Hut Champs. And then at the end on November 28th, it's the big one. That's when Rivals goes. And so, you know, I think that that's intelligent, because I think if they just try to flip the switch and put on everything, huge percentage chance for everything to break. Mm-hmm. Because it worked pretty well in that weird tech test that no one knew about that randomly popped up right before the game launched. And, like,
yeah.
Like, oh, bang. It worked. Like, I was stunned by that. It worked. We played Rivals in the beta, right?
Yeah, we did. And it was, like, great. I don't remember any connection. I have more connection issues on, like, PS5 against other PS5 users right now than... Mm-hmm. And what that
was. Is there
was.
A chance that this is shattered? Huge. Like, it is.
I would say at least 30% chance.
At least 30%. But the thing I've said since the start is that no matter what, this will work. Because if this breaks at any point, this is a all hands on deck immediately. Everything gets pulled back. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, we'll fix the issue on another patch. This is like, this has to work. So I'm excited for that. Now, Hut Champs starts. Padre. You are someone that has a shot at, you know, you're a top 100 Hut Champ player every single week. With what Hut, for anyone that doesn't know, Hut Champ's matchmaking has been broken since the launch of the game, because this also came in patch 1.03. It was the other big thing. Hut Champ's matchmaking is now fixed. You are now going to match up with players that you should have matched up with based on your skill or based on how you're performing. So if you are 13-0, no longer are you going to get the guys that are 2-9. You are going to get guys that are closer to 13-0. Are you for this, against it? What are you amped? What?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most competitive game mode, so it should be the most competitive game mode. I know what Kessa's going to say about the matchmaking, which I tend to agree with when it's hard to find matches. Hopefully, crossplay fixes that search time.
That's what I said.
And if it does, then everything's fine, because it should be the most competitive game mode. I saw so many people replying to my tweet, because I keep reposting the LeBron James gift, it's about damn time, like, you know what I mean, just kidding around, and but people replying to me, this defeatist mentality of just, why do I have to play people that are good, oh my gosh, it was so much fun playing bad, and it's like, what is going on? Like, if that's your mindset, then don't play Hut Champs, go play Rivals, and I know Rivals, if you're in Div 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in Rivals, you'll play Div 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in Rivals, so... Or go play Hut Rush. Go play Versus. I mean, there's so many different... I'm not saying there's a million modes, but there's so many different avenues you can go play still and not have to play Kesso and Gren and whoever. I mean, I don't understand this whole thing of people complaining about it. It's... You know, listen, if they kept it the way it was and there was win-based rewards, I would probably be fine with that too. Because then, for example, like I disconnected this past weekend. I was 8-0 or 7-0. Immediately, I'm done. You know, 15 wins, that's it. It's over. So, you know, but if I didn't have that, we had win base, I could get 19 wins and I could get good rewards. But
to put it in context, like for anyone that doesn't realize this, that
save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maybe a new to Hut Champs, whatnot. There was the full top 100 leaderboard on PS5 has been 20-0 for the last 3 weeks. Maybe five people on the entire console go 20-0. So when it works. So that's for people that don't really understand, that's the issue that's been happening, yes. Right? Kesso, what were you saying?
I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying the matchmaking. It goes against everything I've stood for the past like 15 years. And the only reason is because I search for a game and I get one instantly, right? Like I stream for 6 to 8 hours a week max. Fits my schedule perfectly. Am I what? Hey,
are you happy that you could get your games done?
That's what I'm happy. I think I'm happy I can get my games done.
Is that a good thing?
So
listen to what you just said. It's a video game. And you're happy that your games are done. Is that a
no? So entirely? No, not at all. Because I'm enjoying myself. They're like low stress games, dude. I think I just became a different person from who I was. Right? They're low stress games. I can interact with my chat the whole time, like on Twitch. It's enjoyable. But even understanding that and saying that, it's the quintessential competitive mode in Hockey Ultimate Team. It should be skill-based matchmaking. Hopefully with cross-platform or cross-play, you know, whatever, it fixes those search time issues. I still don't have hope.
My fear is
I don't have
for
hope.
Hot Champs.
What?
Specifically for Hot Champs. There is a... this isn't just for NHL. This is any video game. This is human psychology. People, we are basically bred to find the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like normal life. So I don't flame just the NHL community, but this is like everything in a video game. What I have a feeling is going to happen, if there is a way for, on Xbox at least, because I know on MLB, me and Padre talked about this, to turn off crossplay.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Anyone that is a hut champ, like has the potential to go top 100, they're going to turn that off.
So I think it'd be more likely to happen on Xbox than PlayStation, because I think PlayStation has more top
more
end.
Depth, but less.
No, yeah, I think PlayStation has more top end talent. Xbox has a ton more depth. I think
it's the opposite.
I mean, there's Regs and Gren on PlayStation.
You know, you're thinking could win GWC.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking for me selfishly 20-0.
Like good hut heroes that could take a game off of you guys. There is many more on PlayStation than Xbox, I would think. But what I think is that if you take the guys that will make that have a shot at GWC, there's roughly the same amount on each console. Like if we're talking like 10 to 20 people on each console. But I think that the guys that have a shot to take a game off those guys, there's like 150 on PlayStation, whereas maybe there's 50 on Xbox.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You also have to understand that Euros are not on Xbox.
Correct.
So that, yeah, Padre, I think, was going to say that. What you have to factor in, the leaderboard on PlayStation 5 is way harder for North Americans because you have Euros that are very good. Like the major European player base is on PlayStation. It is not on Xbox. It's a barren wasteland on Xbox. So the Xbox guys that are going top 100 on Hut Champs, they just have to play North Americans.
That's all they're rated against. I mean, I think it should have been separated too, like years ago. Like we're getting into this. Padre, we've talked about this for 4 years now since we started playing Hut again in like NHL 19. EUs in North America shouldn't be on the same one.
It's not like you're going into the player base, so it's like if you separate them, it's not like, you know, oh, now our player pool's even smaller, right? Yeah. It's like, dude, you're never matching them. So like, what's
the... I guess it impacts the economy if you're giving out double top
rewards. You know how you fix it? You put in win-based rewards. I mean, it's pretty simple. That's the only way to fix it. I think win-based rewards is a must for Hut Champs in the future. I would love it. It would fix a lot of issues. You wouldn't have guys missing top 20. Like, I missed top 20, I remember 2 years ago on PlayStation. I go to bed and I was 14, 13, I was 19-1, and I go to bed and the West Coast kids would win trade each other, and all of a sudden I'm 21 by the time I wake up just because of them, you know, messing around. And, I was going back to your guys' comment about the depth. Since I played both multiple years, I think Xbox has more depth because of the fact that there's LG sixes on Xbox, and all those kids out there, you 6v6 guys that complain about 1v1 all the time, I don't even want to hear it. You have better hut teams than me, you play more than me, and they all complain about it. It's the weirdest concept. It's like, I don't complain about sixes and then go play it all day long. So it always cracks
me
up.
Well, they need something to play whenever LG's
going. So it's just always funny because, I mean, people forget that LG community, and kudos to Triss and Brody, is huge. You know, and the main console that people...
That's the backbone of the NHL community right there.
It really is. People, it'd be cool to see...
Holds up a lot of people that people don't understand. Yeah.
It'd be cool to see if EA ever, like, had something in-game kind of partnership with them down the line, like, in 2020-47 or something, because...
They are very... Like, if LG needs something, like their API track, for anyone that doesn't know what League Gaming is, well, you will shortly, because Triss is the one that is helping me build my site, which is, like, very slowly coming along, and it looks like December it might actually happen. So for anyone that doesn't know, I'm making my own Hut database website. I'm very excited about it. There's a lot of new stuff that we're putting in, and Triss is just a masterclass of his abilities in terms of, like, website design and tech and stuff like that. But what they built is you basically have an online career where you can go in the CHL, mm-hmm. you get bid on by a real person. You have real 16-man rosters. You play a full season in the CHL. You play enough of those. The next season, you can get drafted in the NHL. I got drafted in the first round by Carm to Vancouver.
Oh, and don't you worry. You get the real GM and ownership treatment in that league. There's some guys.
Oh, yeah.
There's some guys out there. Political. There's some guys out there that think they are real GMs. Like, I remember their guy that would call us into, like, a party chat back in the day on 360. And you're like, oh, listen, we're going to have to move you over to Vancouver. You know?
They treat it like it's, like, really your training. Oh,
dude, I owned on PlayStation in the NHL, and I was very hands off. Like, whenever someone had a problem, I'd just laugh and be like, "Fellas, like, let's relax here." But no, it's very serious, and that's like that isn't a bad thing. It's not a
no.
It's what they've made is crazy.
Awesome.
So, yeah, if you are interested in playing 6v6 and knowing what that's like, go and take a look at League Gaming.
But, yeah. Hey, one more. I wanted to add in one thing before we go to this next topic. I'm having fun with the game this year. Okay, like, I enjoy NHL 23 more than I think I did 22 and 21. And do you know why?
You reduced the amount of hours?
I reduced the hours a little bit. I'm not following the releases of the cards, so I'm not getting mentally sucked into always thinking I need the next best card. I'm not watching shit.
Completely ruining my...
No, I know, right? I know, Sleaze, I'm ruining it. I know people don't, but, like, I'm doing this stuff. You actively talk about that. I'm doing that. And I just don't, you know, I care about winning, but I'm having fun playing. Like, I'm scoring different ways. And I think people burn themselves out way too much. Maze is one of our friends.
Yes.
In here. I know I'm ruining your business model here.
No. You're, go ahead.
Maze is one of our friends. He was in my chat like this weekend or something. He's like, I have like 8.5 hours a day, he said. And I'm thinking, like, dude, this game's not made for that. Like, you are going to burn yourself out. You're going to be miserable. And then people come into my chat like, oh, what's the next card? You know, like, da, 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 da. I'm having fun because I'm not paying attention. Like, I'm just using the players I like or the players I get untradeable. And it's way more enjoyable.
Very, very curious when, one, Hot Champs goes back to normal matchmaking and you get matched up against guys you're supposed to be matched up against.
Maybe.
And two, when GWC comes around and you're getting
flooded. I don't have any hopes for that this year.
Yeah, that I don't care. You don't take the desire to win out of someone.
That's true. Maybe.
It will come up. And I'm just curious to see. Again, we'll revisit that topic because I think that's very
interesting. We will.
I play this game for a living, and I'm not burned out because I'm having so much more. I enjoy playing No Money Spent. Like, I have
yeah, that's what maybe
the
that's
Ferrari,
what it is for me.
I joke. I got the Ferrari in the garage. And when I play my Hut Champs run on that, it's like it makes me appreciate the team more, but there's no team, there's no one to chase, right? So that's boring. Like, when you play, if you go and play franchise mode, and let's say you're trying to dig a masterclass, right? And you trade for everyone, you have the perfect draft, and you have first two seasons, and you're on rookie mode, and it's like forced trades are on. It's like, man, without a challenge, humans just don't care. We don't care. Like, you lose interest,
yeah.
Right? So when you have this team, like, I load into this team and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I have no one to go after. I don't care. And then it's like, oh, I got to play my rivals games to get packs and get cards that I don't,
yeah.
I can't get anyone to replace anyone on my team. But No Money Spent, my new editor, he basically handles all my No Money Spent videos, and I just get them, I play on stream, I have this team I'm trying to build, and it's way more enjoyable.
Isn't it so much more fun doing that?
It is. Way more, because every time you pull something, you're like, oh my god, dude, if I pulled an 89 OEL right now on my God Squad, I'd be like, sick, 250,000 coins.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, what do I save that for? Gretzky, I guess? Like, it's just like, it's not the same. If you're No Money Spent, there's a challenge behind it, and I also think it's the way you're scoring. I love going for tip shots. I've become good at it, and it is so satisfying to set up a play at the point, and instead of just going for the same D2D one-timer or the same short side wrister that's been in the game since 2008, the tip shots, you have no idea if it's going to go in.
It's so great.
There's no way to defend it when you set it up correctly, and it's just chaos. Like, it's just utter chaos, and I think that's fun. Like, I think it's hilarious when you score those goals.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the next thing, I want to get your feedback. Like, how do you feel about we've talked about glitch goals being in the game, and I personally think it's because there's really no skill gap in this game, that without glitch goals, you get NHL 22, where you lose games where you feel like you should win because there's a lot of just hockey. And from a hockey standpoint, and players that don't, I think, that don't play Division 1 and 2, I think that they enjoy it a little bit more than someone who plays a bit higher because, again, it's very tough to enjoy a game when you lose. Like, that's just, like, you know what I mean? Very often, not very often do you lose a game. You're like, wow, that was a good game of Chell. You
know? Good game. Let me send a GG message.
Yeah, that was a barn burner. And every so often, I have those. Usually it's with people that I know in the community. But, like, man, it's with glitch goals allow the, if someone's skill zoning, for example, right? A glitch goal eliminates that because, you know, they want to sit in the middle, not move, and allow you take their defensive skill completely out of it. You know, some of the glitch goals, goal line shots, things like that, that eliminates that because they have to actively defend it. How do you feel about the wrap?
I haven't, it hasn't been scored on me. And I've played good players.
Because I know it. I know it's coming.
Yeah, like, I don't think I mind it.
I think a lot of the player base is doesn't know how to defend it.
Dude, I am amazed because I see that and I see the Polk's goal. And people
22.
Yeah, so people post a clip on like Reddit or something, right? And they're like, how do I stop this? I don't know how. Not blaming them, they're inexperienced players. I'm not making fun of them. And they're just parking a guy in front of the net. So they're giving this person tons of space behind. They're basically letting him like Wayne Gretzky office it behind the net. I'm thinking like just go in between. Cut them off, you know, there's things you can do.
You know where the end point is.
Yeah, and it's just because we're losers and we've played 5,000 hours the past however many years.
If you know where the end point is, go there, and you know you're confident. Like, how many times on the street, I get a kick. Like, I'll play dudes that are far better than me, but if they don't know a certain way to score and their only way is really that glitch wrap, like, you know, the wraparound, like, I'll let him have 20 minutes TOA.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'll just sit there. I'm like, yo, you're not enjoying yourself. You're bored because I'm bored. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I get angry when people do that. I've had some bad experiences recently because I call it out. And then, like, I call it out to, like, somebody I like, you know, that I'm playing against. But
all right. So the patch coming fixes hot chance matchmaking, which is a W, and crossplay. It's clear. I can't wait to see how that goes. All right, let's talk about alumni. Padre, I want to get your thoughts. Alfie's in the game. That's a pretty big... I feel like that's a bigger one. Like, we haven't got a huge alumni added in the game in a while. Is Alfie a big one or no?
I mean, yeah, like, what, arguably the most famous Senators player ever, right? I mean...
Yeah, gotta be, right?
So, you know, that's cool for those fans. And in Swedish hockey, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
When you think Ottawa, do you think Alfredson and Yashin? You're the same age as me, roughly. Like, a couple years
ago. I think,
you're not from Niagara.
Yeah, I think of him. I think of, you know, Spezza. I think of, you know, Heatley when he was there, when they had the year. I think of Ray Emery, rest in peace.
Dude, that team they had that year, insane.
Yeah, Volchenkov, just a great hockey name.
Yeah, you know, so. Did they have Vermette that year too?
Vermette, yeah, they're a wagon.
Team. Chris Phillips, like that. Yeah, that team is. I'm curious. So we're going off topic here, but like, so being from Niagara, right? I was like a Toronto fan before I was able to watch good hockey, and I found the Sharks. Like when you were 10 to 13, who are the players that you? Because this is before, guys. So again, we're going to date ourselves here, but we're all born in the early 90s. This is before the NHL app, and you could watch any game you could. Like, I don't know about you, but there was not a lot of out of market that you could watch. So what you lived around is pretty much what you got. Who are the teams and players that you like disliked the most? Padre, start with you, because you're from Missouri. Like, you're in a player. Not a lot of people that maybe that.
So being a Blues fan back when the Red Wings were in the Western Conference, it was the Red Wings. I hated Kirk Maltby. I hated Thomas Holmstrom. I hated.
Yeah, you didn't see them.
I hated Chris Draper. They were our biggest rival because they were good, and we were always really good too. We just never did anything in the playoffs. You know, we had Pronger, McInnes, Dimitra.
People don't know this. 25 straight seasons.
25 straight seasons.
Made the playoffs.
And the only reason why it stopped is because our owner went to a strip club and lost all of his money and investing in wrong things and had to sell the team and stripped it all the way down. Chris Pronger for Eric Brewer, you name it. I could tell you the whole thing. It's brutal. But I hated them. And, you know, and then like as I got like a little bit older into high school and stuff, it became the Blackhawks, obviously, with Patrick Kane and Taves. And And just because they win, right? And we played them all the time, and they beat us to go to the, you know, cup a few times, and a little bit for the LA Kings too, I guess, you know, because Jonathan Quick and Doughty, they just always seem to stump us too. But yeah,
when you think of Dallas Stars, what do you think of?
When I think of Dallas Stars, I mean, I think of Madonna. I mean, I think of Marty Turco. Yeah, because I was a goalie, obviously, Turco.
Eddie Balfour, Brendan Morrow.
Langenbrunner, Stu Barnes, Steve Ott.
I wish this would be the greatest technology ever invented. Imagine they could like take old games and put them in the graphics of like current. Like, imagine they took real life hockey or real life sports and they could reimagine it as like maybe the video game gets that big. Could you imagine if that's the future of sports games? Like, I am sad. I was never, this is like, this is how I, when I remember hockey, when it was two teams that I was not a fan of, and I can remember like I want to say Vancouver and Dallas playoff series where Luongo and Turco traded shutouts for 6 of the 7 games, I think it was.
Yeah.
Like it was, and I mean, Edmonton and Dallas always had these insane playoff series. That were just, it was always a Western Conference. It was like they always hit hard.
What about the Sharks? Sharks in Dallas when Nabokov robbed on the Sharks back door. Remember that glove save?
That was a tough one. That's an all-time save of all time, in my opinion. But we're old.
He was criminally underrated, by the way, Nabokov. I always thought he was 100%. Very.
He won the Calder. No one remembers that. Like he won the Calder trophy.
He was really good. He stumped us a few times too in the playoffs.
What about you, my first year being a fan? I became a fan when they played Colorado in the conference semifinals. They knocked out St. Louis in the conference quarterfinals. When you think of when you were a kid, like 10 to 15, who were the players and teams that you remember that like you had to respect because they were good, but you didn't like them?
I hated, this might be like 8 to 12, was the Devils. The Penguins ran into them. I think it was Lemieux's return the year he came back. And they were so good that year, the Penguins, and they ran into that Devils team with, they were so deep. I think it might have been Scotty Gomez's like rookie year, but they had Arnott, Elias, and Sikora maybe on that one line. But they had Bobby Holik. I hated him. I was like, I was like a kid, so I'm like, he's so ugly. You know, like I was just angry. And dude, he was like Holik was amazing. Looking back on him now as an adult, I'm like, he was a great player.
One thing that I hate that about like my growing up as a hockey fan is like I never, unless you, again, same situation, because before the NHL app and the ability and the internet, really, I remember watching, my only Mario Lemieux memories is with Crosby,
which is crazy because it was just like 22 or 26 games that year. I forget how many it
like
was.
That is like, because like when I was a kid, even though I like, you know, Toronto played in the Eastern Conference against the Penguins, I don't think they were the same division, and you didn't see them a lot. Like same with Gretzky. Like I remember watching, I remember where I was with my dad at a bar. We were at this like Lions Hall thing that he was like, it was his baseball teams. And I remember watching his like final game with the Rangers. But same thing. Like I never got to, dude, when you were growing up, was Gretzky huge when he got traded? Like, do you remember that when you were a kid?
When the Blues got Gretzky?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember it. And I have a freak memory of stuff like this, but I remember watching in the Yzerman goal bar down on John Casey, in my grandparents' living room when we Wayne Gretzky.
That's what I love about sports.
Wayne Gretzky was kind of milking it on the back check too. If you remember,
he really
It's crazy. It was. And it's funny. I actually, with the alumni with the Blues here, John Casey lives here, so it's like he was the guy that got sniped by Yzerman, which is, it's honestly like, it was a great shot, but
that's a bad goal.
You can't let that goal that far.
You can't let that in.
He just flung his arm up. That's all. If you guys remember, the reason why he was playing is because Fuhrer got taken out by Nick Kiprios, which is a famous thing. And I was going to say this about hockey. I love hockey. I still watch it all the time. There's fun games that happen. You know, you look forward to, like we'll talk about on the Real Hockey Podcast, the Eichel return to Buffalo. There's just, you don't have those moments as much anymore. Like, I feel like the closest thing we had recently was like the Tkachuk and Cassian thing. You know what I mean? Where it was like, oh my gosh, this is brewing.
Now, do you think that's like nostalgia though? Like looking back on it, because I agree with you.
I think it's the style of play because there's not as much the physicality. Like at the end of the day, like, you know, I know the CTE people out there. I get it. Like, trust me, I my old coach passed away from he committed suicide, and he Todd Ewing was his name. He had CTE when they found it in his brain, and he fought many years in the NHL. And I know it's like a real thing, so I'm not like, you know, knocking that kind of stuff. But when hockey was more physical, more fights, more, you know, just cheap shots and dirty plays, and now you just don't see as much. So like the Tkachuk thing was the closest thing, and we were all, I mean, you had people that didn't even know who Zach Cassian was, probably like excited to see him and Tkachuk maybe fight, and you know, just the whole buildup of it.
It's, I think, I mean, this is a whole other topic, but like hockey is like a whole, man. Like, it's the sport that has easily changed the most of the last 20 years. Like in football, there's very, like, it's just contact. It's contact against quarterbacks, really.
Yeah.
And that's drastically changed, like, the outlooks of some games and whatnot. But, like, you still get, like, the Odell Beckham catch. I mean, Jefferson just had a catch that was absolutely insane. Very, you can have those huge moments. And because the way football is played, the Minnesota Buffalo game. I'm not a Buffalo. I don't mind the Bills, but like I don't like the Vikings. And it's like I sat there like Jesus. Like that's gonna be a game I remember watching probably for like the next like 30 years. In hockey, yeah, like there is not the same rivalries, and I think that physicality is like easily like a. It's you remove like the big goals and moments are big for like the moment, but like the physicality drags. When you watch a fight in hockey, if you're a fan of that team, man, you want your dude to absolutely label that. Like I understand if you're against it. Personally, if two willing combatants, if you see a dude get, there's no other sport where a guy can get absolutely blindsided, and you have the ability legally to go and handle it.
You got to answer like, the bell.
You got to answer the bell. Like, and
unless you're Austin Matthews.
And
hey, let's talk about. I want to talk about that on the podcast. On the other one, I want to talk about the Matthews thing because that was a hot topic.
Okay. We're getting way off topic, and we have to record the real life one too. So, all right, alumni, real quick. So, A, he's got to get an MSP.
Alfie?
I thought he was already going to get one. Like, I think Alfie is going to get an MSP because he was. It was so weird. He was in the alumni list, and that's such a big one to like not announce, right? Because like, I don't know if you understand, but I just thought that like. Maybe the next event or maybe the Milestones event was like, oh, he, you know, easy way to give him an MSP card.
Is Luongo, is he, okay, so he's not. I would like to see
a lot of people,
event where you could get both Sedins by doing a set or something, like an MSP. I think it'd be cool because there are a few, I think it was a few years ago, they had the MSP Sedins, but you had to get like one or, you know, I can't remember, like, you had to get, like, both of them separate.
Oh, yeah, one of the, it was, like, the dynamic duos one,
did,
I think.
You know what I'm surprised? You know what I'm surprised about? They did it with Tara Vinen. I'm surprised they didn't do the flashback Sedins. Like, for this, you know what I mean? Like, because that, I don't know if they should keep doing it, but, like, that would have been kind of fitting.
Yeah.
You know, instead of releasing, like, these, the headshot Sedins, it's like, I hate headshots, man. I can't stand the headshot cards. I think there's very, very little ways to actually make it look good. And but I think that would have been interesting if they would have done the dynamic duos from that NHL 20.
Yeah.
21,
I think.
I think it might have been 21.
I think it was
20. Been 20. Yeah. That's a long time ago. Because there was like 2.0, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
So like there, it was in multiple games. But yeah, the Sedins would have been a good one, I think, if they just would have thrown that back in there. So. I don't know. Who's a alumni real quick, guys? Give me one that you that needs to be in the game next.
Give me, give me Alexei Kovalev immediately. That'd be the best
See,
one.
I think you say Alexei Kovalev, and I think, like, Montreal.
I know, right? But, he had a few stints. Like, he was, like, Pittsburgh, Montreal, New York.
It's so cool that we're from different – we're not even that far away. But, like, again, that's why I was bringing up, like, who are your teams that you hate when you were a kid. I hated Ottawa and I hated Philly as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. And you guys hated – I couldn't care less about New Jersey. I thought they were kind of cool because Brodeur and their logo looked cool. And then same thing with, like, Stewie. Like, I didn't care about the Red Wings, so I was a Sharks fan. Like, I just did. Mm-hmm. And it's just – it's funny to see, like, how the difference is. But Kovalev would be a great one. What about you, Stewie?
Dude, I can't even think of one right now. I don't know why. They have a lot of
them. There's got to be. Dude, you have so many.
I know, but they do have a lot of them in the game that I'm thinking of already. I give them credit, you know? I mean.
This is on, by the way, guys, this is not on EA. They put out the ask to all of the guys you want. So everyone's like, wow, why is Hashik not in the game? They send Hashik's representation. Hey, sign this, you'll be in the game. And they just.
He used to be in the game, too. It's kind of crazy how it comes and goes like that. He was in the game. I can't remember what year it was. Because
I
was
19, I think, or 18.
Yeah.
19. Yeah, it was the last year because Heatley was, too.
Yeah.
There's one. Give me Heater again. I love Heater.
Heater would be great. Mine is I would love when they added Jerome Iginla. That was big because he's one of my favorite players of all time. I have his jersey up on the wall. Vinny LeCavalier. So that's
I was trying to think of guys that aren't that recent. You know what I mean? Like further back that you know that would be cool to see pop in the game. I guess that was what I was more.
Bobby Orr.
Yeah, that's
answer.
A good one.
Bobby Orr is the answer.
That's a good one. I think. Yeah.
What ability would he have?
Relentless. The diving one with the dunk. Elite.
How mad would people get if you put up the Bobby Orr?
Probably wheels or elite edges. Probably.
Yeah, he'd have to have everything.
Dude, even the icon is him diving, though. It's like definitely relentless. Yeah. It's 100%. That's it. That would be a great one, though. I think Bobby Orr. I think of all the old players.
Scott Stevens.
He was in the game too.
Yeah.
Really? God, he would.
Paul Kariya.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm trying from our childhood. the one missing is like Kariya, right? Like that was where everyone was like, "Dude, we all love Kariya because of the stupid Mighty Duck movies."
Oh yeah.
Like I think like every kid, if you were born in the early 1990s, guys, like at one point went through a Mighty Duck phase. Like I had a starter jacket. I couldn't tell you who was on the team. But then when you get old enough.
Go back and watch those movies now. It's so funny. Like,
dude, they are all.
They're so. You just find like little things. You're like, wait, the same wasn't Charlie Conway now. It was Adam Banks. Like, he was a righty and then he became a lefty in the middle of the scene. Like, how did that happen? I just like, it's always so funny. Like, I just pick like weird things like that out, or how they go no bucket on the spin around the circle before the penalty shot. Like, it's like what in the world? Like, you could never do no bucket at that age.
No, there's a lot of those movies that are brutal, but man, it was the commentating that sold it. It was so good.
Bob Miller, right?
And it like legit sounds like a real thing. Like,
how about Team USA, like round one, they play Trinidad and Tobago and D2 Mighty Ducks. It's like, how did they come up with that country to get it?
They score and they start playing the drums.
Yeah, they're playing dude, sick. If they put those uniforms in the game, I would rock those. Oh, those were,
dude, it's tie-dye.
Yeah, they were sick.
Like, instead of, like, I don't know if it was, like, an IHF thing, but, like, they had to come up with, like, an evil country, and they were like, let's land on Iceland.
Like, Dennis the Wolf Stanson.
Which is, like, fully, like, green, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's, like, it's like, but it's ice in it. Like,
hey, I give that movie credit. Good jerseys. Even Iceland's were sick. Great jerseys. Yeah.
Dude, We Will Rock You comes on when they come out with the duck jerseys in the third period. Oh, man.
Dude, Goldberg is in the goaltending is just atrocious, too. I watched that. Gunnar Stahl on the penalty shot.
The goalie! And he's like, I'm zoning.
I always just think of like the lines from the movie. Let's go shake their hands.
Yeah, dude. Oh, dude, it's Ecky and versus Junior Penny. Yeah. I have a tweet, Kessler, that you'd be so proud of from 2018. GWC tweeted out in 2018 that the finals was Junior Penny versus Ecky. I'm like, we've already seen this, and it was literally Gunnar Stahl and Adam Banks inside my dude. It's an all time.
Dude, we could do this for like 10 hours. we're like dating ourselves. Anyways.
All right, the last topic I want to talk about real quick is bi-yearly release in sports games. So we talked about it earlier that the development teams for sports games, not just EA NHL, what they go through is these like crunch times, man. I'd be willing to bet that a majority of them haven't had a vacation in like a week-long vacation where they didn't have to do anything in like years. But they have to go through in the gaming industry as a whole. What do you think? If a lot, this always comes up, like, would you take a live service game because it would allow them to work more on a game? Like, would you think that would actually work?
Yeah, it would. If it would work in NHL, I know we're going to talk about it, they would have to cut out or admit that they would only update like franchise mode, be it for like the offline stuff, maybe like every 3 to 4 years, right? They couldn't really reinvent that stuff every year. And they would just have to reimagine what Ultimate Team is, right? If it's like a biannual release, there would just have to be adjustments to pace that out for 2 years.
I would love to see what it would look like if everything went into, like, for one, like, it's tough because I don't think you could ever remove the offline modes. But if you took all the developers' time and effort and put it into Hockey Ultimate Team World of Shell, I'd be interested to see if that game would flop or not. And a lot of people would be like, dude, without franchise mode. And I get that because franchise mode in video games is what I played for almost my entire life. Like every year, I still play about 100 hours of franchise mode by just like play because it's like I enjoy it, right? But what I'm curious is, again, answer in the comments down below. If it was bi-yearly and it was full live service, a lot like what MLB The Show is, where it's all their effort and money goes and focus blatantly goes into Ultimate Team. And the content is great. Gameplay in MLB has been awful, but let's pretend it's good. And the content is what it is in MLB The Show. That's something in NHL we drastically crave, but they don't have the resources to do it because they're spreading them out all like seven different modes, even though they don't see a lot of updates. So the problem is they can't update all the modes. What if they released a Be a Pro and franchise mode game, not separately, like those two are included in it, for $30 every year? Like, do you think that that would satisfy both markets?
100%. I do, actually. Okay. I do, and I know it's surprising, but they're not changing enough things in those modes anyway, right? I don't know if it was last year or the year before they made those updates to Be a Pro where they had the text.
Like 3 years ago now.
Yeah, right. And that's the last time there's actually been something that moved the needle in Be a Pro mode. So the people that only play Be a Pro in franchise mode are paying $60 to $100 right now a year to play those. Instead,
and what's messed up is when new bugs come up. But people don't realize when bugs come up in those modes, they got to pull guys off of whatever they're doing to go fix that. Mm-hmm. That isn't just magically like, and it's like fixed like that. That does it. That's not how it works.
I don't even know what's new in those this year. Excuse me, I'm yawning now. It's late.
Really, really not much, man. Not much at all. So I'd be curious. I feel like because the people that write the checks, and it's a business. So don't get me wrong. Like, I understand that. Like, it's a business. The object of them is to make money because it is a business. For the consumer, that usually ends up sucking, but that's the case. You can't go to a bi-yearly release like every other year with a sports game because you like that company, EA, 2K, whatever, would lose a ton of money because every year we're gonna shell out $100. It's $100 for a game now, $100 every single year, and you know if they didn't do that, and let's say it was like season pass mode, and it's like $20 for season pass. The amount of people that would buy it at launch and then not buy the season passes, let's say you bought it at launch for $20, you wouldn't pay the other $80 throughout the year to keep it all upgraded all the way to the end. You would lose a dramatic amount of money from a business standpoint. But I think that would be awesome as a consumer.
Could you do ESHL only game too? Like a separate game where it's only like club? We've talked about this a long time ago in the past where it's like that way you could do, I feel like, something separate, if that makes sense.
I'm sure you could, but then I think you're convoluting because I think that you have to have enough in a game to sell for full price. Like if EA told me that they are not, again, I'm selfish because I'm it's my job. It's the only thing I really find interesting right now. Obviously, franchise and Be a Pro, I still like. I wish they were improved year over year, but they're not. So it's like if the game only had World of Chell and Hut, and all the developers put all their time into it, I would love to see what that game would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ignored it. And people are going to be like, well, they don't touch it anyways. It's like, again, when they make a new game, they can't just like copy and paste it over. Like there are bugs that come up. Be a Pro has like new bugs that they've just like, you know, franchise mode has new bugs like because it's roster based. Rosters brick the game, like every mode. Like when there's an issue with a roster, like a player's like malfunctioning or they don't have it, it will lose your save files. It will brick HUT. Like it will just stop the game from playing online. So when that happens, they've got all hands on deck to fix that kind of stuff. And I think if they removed it and made it separate, and it's like $30, here's franchise mode and Be a Pro, I'm curious how that would work. Because I think that would offset the cost of what the executives would be like, we're not doing a bi-yearly release, right? Yeah. That's why I tweeted this out too. I'm like, I wonder what UFC fans, you get a game every 2 years, right? And I'm wondering if like, do you hate that? Or do you like... What if they gave
you... Dude, there's like a... How often are there UFC events?
Every month.
Okay. Once a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like fighters alternate, so it's like big fighters have like 3 fights a year.
Yeah.
Is there really that much changing year over year in UFC where it could ever warrant
Not like rosters. Yeah. Like, no, like not like that, but like I'm talking about the new features. Yeah. Like that, like, you know, so... I don't know. I'm curious to see what the thoughts are from the community in that aspect. But all right, guys, that is that was a shock. We went on a couple tangents.
Yeah, we did.
I'm all for the tangents, though.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, though, shout out to Gamer Saloon for sponsoring the podcast. Me and Padre have deep history there. We love the website. We love the business. We love the people there too.
Love the money Gamer too. Saloon,
we love the money too. Thank God for the money. If you want to get better at the game, go on there. I've said this before, if you put like $50 in, play some $5 matches, play some good players, you're going to get 10 times the amount of value out of that than you will playing Rivals or Hot Champs. Because all the good players are on there.
Yeah.
So gamerslin.com, the link's in the description.
I think the main thing to take away from this episode, too, is you guys are the biggest bootlickers in this community. Going back to the... I gotta help out the people in the comments that are going to be mad about you guys talking about the Game Changer program.
I know.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, fellas, thank you guys again for listening, and we'll be back with the Real Hockey Podcast. Thank you guys again for listening. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.